You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
Sitting on the beach watching transnational criminal scum neoliberal filth.
The News Hub Read research poll yesterday evening showed Labour could govern alone with it on 56.5% of 14, while support for National went into freefall as they dropped 12.7 points to only 30.6%. The Greens and New Zealand First were steady at 5.5 and 2.7% respectively, while ACT were at 1.8%. On these numbers, Labour will have 72 seats, well ahead of the 61-seat majority threshold. National will only have 39 MPs. The Greens will be on 7, ACT on 2 if its leader David Seymour wins the Epsom electorate, while New Zealand First will be out of Parliament altogether if it doesn't win an electorate. Since the implementation of MMP in the 1996 election, no party has won the majority. And if you want to go back to the last time that a party got more than 56% at an election, we have to go back to 1908 when Joseph Ward and the Liberal Party got 58% of the vote. And that election ran on two-round voting, meaning that there will be a second or runoff ballot between the two. Top two candidates will be held if the top candidate did not get an absolute majority. I spoke to Lara Greaves from the University of Auckland to find out what caused this poll result and what does this mean for the upcoming election.
Well, I found that quite interesting. I was thinking that it might be even a little bit higher than it was initially, because we've basically seen in research with the New Zealand Attitudes and Values Study that about a 15.5% increase in satisfaction with government, although that was in the first 2 to 3 weeks post-lockdown. So when we compared those post-lockdown people to people months earlier. So I was kind of expecting a similar increase, if not a little bit more, because we've also seen National up around those polling numbers. For example, post-Christchurch earthquakes, we saw National up around 57, 58%. So I was kind of expecting slightly higher. We've also seen similar bumps in the polls before. One kind of classic example was post-Don Brash O'Dayle speech. National got about a 13, 14 kind of percent increase in the polls then. So I was kind of expecting it to be a little bit higher, but it is generally in line with what we are seeing, or we have seen, of what's called a rallying around the flag effect, where people tend to cling to, support, kind of bolster the incumbent government whenever there is a crisis.
Following up on that, do you think Simon Bridges could survive as National leader until the election?
I believe that Simon Bridges could survive as leader even until he loses the election, and then I think that's a good time for someone to kind of swoop in and become the new leader. I think at the moment, if you're sitting there and you're a National MP, most people only ever really get one shot at becoming Prime Minister, Bill English kind of being the exception to that, but most people only ever get one shot. So if you're sitting there in the National caucus and you're thinking maybe you want to be leader one day, I just don't think that right now would be a really good time to roll him. I think you would want to wait after he'd lost the election, because the chances of National somehow being able to beat Ardern, beat Labour and the Greens this next election is pretty slim. And it's a very rare situation where if you've lost an election, you get to stay on as leader. So it would just be a dumb career move, I think, by a lot of the National Party caucus to try and roll them right now.
If some of the issues that happened during the lockdown, such as the legality issues surrounding this lockdown itself or some economic issues were played up, could that affect the poll?
There's probably a couple of issues here. So one would be, if there was some stuff around the legality of the lockdown, I don't think that that would be a huge issue for the general public. That would probably be another issue, thinking of things like the Moment of Truth in the past 2014 campaign, or other similar quite technical and quite kind of hard or difficult issues for people to get their heads around. So those kind of issues people generally don't think about too much in their day-to-day life. It'd be quite detailed and quite nerdy, and I don't necessarily think that that would play out so much in poll results. But if there was something, because people can't really see how the legality or the technical details of the lockdown affects them in their everyday life, but if someone loses their job, or if someone in your whānau loses their job, or if you suddenly your house price goes down a huge percent and you're in negative equity, or you have some kind of huge economic issue, then people see that and people do vote based on the economy. That is a large, like one of the most sort of popular issues that people vote based on. So that would be, I think, a concern, because people then tend to punish the incumbent government for an economic issue. That being said, I think it will be hard and longer term for people to be able to kind of separate out, and it's not clear how people will separate out viewing their view on the economy and their view on this early sort of that going hard and going fast strategy of saving lives, because it's not, with COVID, it's not just a straight economic issue. It's an economic issue based on the extent to which we weighed up saving lives versus the economy. So it's just not kind of as comparable to something like the global financial crisis.
I'm going back to something you mentioned earlier, the flag rallying theory. Do people usually resolve to the status quo during a crisis?
Yes, we've seen this, and we've seen this in New Zealand post-Christchurch earthquakes and post the Christchurch terrorist attack as well. We saw a sort of, in both of those occasions, it was more about a 5% bump in the polls. What generally happens is people tend to, like, their values are under threat, their lives in some cases are under threat, and there's just this kind of psychological mechanism where people tend to kind of become sort of more, like they cling more to the status quo or cling more to that leader, or just they have this bump in support. And that's been quite widely recognized around the world in response to natural disasters and to sort of terrorist attacks and other disasters. It's just this, when your values are threatened or when your life is threatened, you kind of hunker down and kind of draw inward. And sometimes that's also paired with like a derogation of outgroups or viewing outsiders with more suspicion and more kind of viewing them as more threatening as well. That just seems to be quite a well-replicated psychological mechanism.
But in the long term, what effects could the lockdown have on the attitude towards the government?
I think this will be really interesting, and it's something that we'll be tracking over time, definitely, as political scientists, because it's been such a huge crisis, right? It's one of those ones where, like, if you see past crises that even Ardern has had to deal with, or before her, John Key, they've been more regional and perhaps affected a smaller population or a smaller part of the population a lot, whereas the lockdown has affected everyone in the country. Some people, of course, will be affected more than others over time. So that's going to be, and I hate to use the word unprecedented, because it seems like we're using the word unprecedented a lot at the moment, but it's an unprecedented thing. I think there's a possibility that some people a small group of people who kind of looked at Ardern with a bit of suspicion, because she is, again, relatively young, she's a woman, and she's relatively kind of, the way she speaks and kind of talks to people, some people are quite critical of that. I think some of those people will have seen her leadership really shine at this stage, and some of their doubts about her may have been sort of alleviated in some way. So there's a possibility that over time Labor will retain some of this vote that has swung to them because of the COVID crisis, that this is not just it rallying around the flag type of thing. I guess over a longer time period as well, we will see the extent to which the go hard and go fast strategy has worked as well. So that may bring more people to Labor just because of the strength of this leadership.
And let's move on to smaller parties. Now, in this poll, we see New Zealand First being completely out of parliament altogether, while the Greens are barely on the 5% threshold. Could this election spell an end to small parties in New Zealand altogether?
I think there's going to be an issue around New Zealand First. So New Zealand First, when there was a piece where someone analysed the New Zealand election study and found that more than half of New Zealand First voters wanted to go with National last time. And Simon Bridges and National have very firmly said that they're going to not work with New Zealand First. So New Zealand First has, and that was such a good strategic move on the part of National, because now New Zealand First has to somehow get to that 5% without those voters. The other consideration with New Zealand First is they always poll worse than they do in the election. People, for some reason, it's either New Zealand First voters don't want to answer the phone or talk to a researcher, or that New Zealand First voters, people don't necessarily want to say they vote for New Zealand First, But even so, this is still quite low levels. Winston Peters hasn't been getting a lot of coverage. We saw him back in the media a couple of weeks ago with around talking about the Trans-Tasman bubble and sort of the issues associated with that, and has some great quote from him about how we were beating the crap out of COVID. And he managed to get a bit more airtime then, and it was kind of good because we saw Winston Peters back, which was quite soothing because he's just been such a sort of classic figure in New Zealand politics there. But he has to somehow get airtime now. That's the only chance he can have at getting to 5%. The Greens, it's interesting. I think at the moment they would be safe. We haven't really got very good research on the extent to which major party supporters will suddenly switch to a minor party if that minor party could be a coalition partner. And I would suspect that we kind of saw it a little bit anecdotally and based on a bit of kind of expert knowledge. In the last election, people switching to the Greens or saying they were going to switch to the Greens to try to keep them over that 5%. So it's not clear whether Labour voters would switch to Greens to save them, knowing that that's a good strategic move and the extent to which people would do that. And it's also not clear if anyone's going to do any deals with seats to try to give people a seat. For example, somewhere like Tamaki Makaurau, where Marama Davidson is running against Pini Henare, a Labour Party minister, it's not clear whether, that would be a good opportunity for the Greens to get a seat, right, or for Labour to gift the Greens a seat. It's not clear if in any of those electorates anything like that is going to be done, any of those deals. We've still got several months.
Mm-hmm. My final question for now is, even though this poll has put Labour on 56.5%, which is much more higher than many governments in the past decades, how much should we trust this poll or even other polls at all?
I think this poll is quite trustworthy. So we've got those two kind of consistent methodology polls, one being News Hub Read Research and the other one being the One News Colmar Granton poll. And those are the two that I tend to watch. And I mainly tend to watch them with trend lines. But that being, and so this has been, this recent result has confirmed a UMR poll, which seemed to have been an all-online poll that had shown, that was leaked, and had shown that Labour was up around 60%. So I mainly watched the trend line with these polls. One thing here that we just have to really keep in mind is there has been this lockdown, there has been this unprecedented COVID-19 response. So we kind of will expect, I would trust this and say this would be representative of an election today or in the next, last week or whatever. But the reality is the election isn't for another 4 months, and a lot of things could happen in those 4 months. We've seen things happen very quickly in modern New Zealand politics. So it's still not clear what would happen, whether something will happen with the economy, something more will happen with COVID, anything that could happen with leadership. It's not clear exactly what will happen 4 months from now, which is what really matters. Their relationships with their girlfriends or their wife. No one, they shouldn't have more than one wife at a time.
Ko te wire, tēnei maronga BFM. You're listening to The Wire on 95 BFM, and that was me talking to Auckland University's Lara Greaves about the recent News Hub poll. And don't forget, The Wire will have conversations with party leaders throughout the week. We usually have Green Party co-leader James Shaw with Sherry Jang on Mondays, and we have Fletcher Tabuto from the New Zealand First with Lillian tomorrow, Labour's Andrew Little on Thursdays with Mary Margaret Slack, and finally National Party's MP Denise Lee on Friday with Laura Quickstart.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.